Get out your Bibles real fast because we're going to jump into this message this morning. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to get to Ephesians chapter 6. And when you get there, begin to say amen. And I'm going to just wait until everybody is at Ephesians chapter 6. Amen? Everybody there, you still looking? And listen, don't be in pride. If you're not used to flipping through the Bible and you can't find Ephesians, it's towards the back, then flip to the table of contents and get the number. Flip over there. Don't be afraid of doing that. It's not a big deal. We're not all Bible scholars. I don't know where every verse is. Everybody is constantly, what do you think about Isaiah 62:14? And I'm usually like, I don't know. Let me look at it. You know, I don't have it all memorized, and I don't know anybody that does. But I want to get into it enough to know where a lot of it is. But Ephesians chapter 6, everybody there? Before we read it, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, or maybe have known someone that has an enemy? An enemy. Because we're going to be tempted to dwell on a lot of things that people do to us. And God just began to birth a message this week about how to respond to our enemies. Now, I'm sure a lot of you right now are probably in your mind thinking of a person, someone that's opposed you in some way at some point in time. And how do you respond to that? Well, first of all, we need to establish a few things biblically about the enemy. So let's read about it really fast, because you're going to encounter the temptation to dwell on something someone said, something someone did. Maybe you're going through a trial and a tribulation right now, and you can dwell on it if you want to, or you can understand where the battle is. Because all of us have had the temptation again to focus on what we might think is an enemy, and we can't really go to the promised land when we're more concerned about what someone said and how they treated us, etc. So let's get some principles found in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12. Look at what the Word of God says. For we wrestle not, everybody in here say, out of your mouth, the word not. We wrestle not, in the King James, it says, against flesh and blood. The Amplified says, we're not wrestling against with flesh and blood, which is contending only with the physical opponents. In other words, we're not wrestling, look at me, against a human person. What are we wrestling with? It explains it, obviously. In the King James, it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Before I read the Amplified, obviously we know who operates in darkness. Who would that be? The devil, right? Satan. He's the prince of darkness, the prince of the air. One thing about it is we don't have to be afraid of some devil. Because the devil or a demon, you don't want to be afraid of, because they're just in a spirit form. They are not flesh. You're not wrestling with, a human devil. But on the other hand, a human person has to submit to the temptation of the one working in darkness to tempt you to do something bad, to tempt you to steal, kill, and destroy. So you don't want to be afraid of the devil. You don't want to be afraid of anything because of the power that's on the inside of you named Jesus. But you've got to understand the difference between the person that's tempted and where the source of the temptation comes from. And the source of the temptation is the enemy, the devil, a demon, a principality, against a power, against the rulers of darkness, which is Satan. Jesus is not the ruler of darkness. He's the ruler of light. And what does light do in the midst of darkness? Exposes the darkness. Man, you don't see darkness when there's light. I mean, you could probably focus in on a shadow right now, but really, we're just seeing light right now, okay? In the Amplified, the Bible says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with the physical opponents, but against the depositions, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual or the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. You've got to understand that a devil cannot harm you, but the one that can harm you is the human that submits to the temptation of the wicked person or the wickedness in high places. See? So we're not afraid of no devil. He needs to be afraid of you because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. Okay? So with that said, when someone does something wrong to you, how do you respond? Are you going to attack them in the flesh? Well, most people do. I mean, most people do. But sadly, that's not the right thing to do. The right thing is to start speaking to the spiritual powers that's tempting the person to do what they're doing. If you get a hold of this message, y'all, you will never walk in offense. You will never walk in anger. I mean, I'm not saying you won't have the temptation to be mad and angry. And I'm talking about the sinful anger. Remember in Ephesians, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. I mean, the only time you should be angry is when you see the devil destroying people and you need to get mad and then start speaking to the mountain. Matthew says, speak to that mountain, command that mountain. Did you notice the mountain is not a human? Speak to the mountain and command the mountain to be cast into the sea. You see. But how do you respond, man, to opposition? Because opposition will come. And opposition is designed to cheat you. I mean, they're wanting to cheat you. Matter of fact, opposition is designed to rob you, to lie and spread rumors about you, to betray you, hurt you and tell you that you're never going to succeed. That's what opposition truly does. But you don't want to get in the habit of wrestling against a person. You need to wrestle against the one that's behind it, that spiritual force. And I'm telling you, the Bible is so clear about the power that lives on the inside of you. Matter of fact, the Word says that at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Where the enemy tries to destroy us believers and non-believers, because the devil is no respecter of persons, y'all. I remember one time that people said, well, I'm not going to really serve the Lord so that the devil won't attack me. What a lie. Because the devil's going to attack you if you're born again, serving him or not serving him, or unsaved. He does not care about the individual. He's not lifting up the one that is serving him. Oh, they may think if they're possessed or oppressed of the devil that he likes that and he's going to bless them. No. He's going to still kill and destroy you because that is his nature. You, on the other hand, as a born-again believer in me, we live under the nature of love. So that's why I've been preaching and the other ministers have been preaching on agape, God's kind of love, for a few months now. And the reason that is because you can either live in the spirit of love or you'll live in the spirit of offense. And you're mad at everything. I can't ever get a break. And before you know it, what comes out of your mouth is speaking a lot of lies, a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, a lot of unbelief. But we need to know how to respond when the opposition, remember, it's a spirit, and it may look like, it may be coming from a human, but don't be fueled to attack the human. Attack the spirit behind it, not to them. I mean, it's never good to be in Walmart and someone's tacky to you, and then all of a sudden you say, "Satan, come out of them," you know. I mean, it's kind of you probably will go to jail, and they're going to think you're crazy, even though it may be true. But man, behind the scene, I do it all the time. Me and Howdy did it this morning. Do you realize that when people drive down, they can pass the church, they can either curse you or bless you. They can either, I heard in Bertram one day, I was just sitting eating at the Mexican restaurant. You know, I like the fajitas, no rice, you know. And I was just sitting there and I heard some tables over there, "Hey, how about that cowboy church? Man, they are all rich and wealthy." I mean, I've heard a lot of stuff. One time there was a rumor started that this church bought my house and all my horses. Would y'all do that, please? That would save me a lot. I'm like, wow, where'd they get that stuff, see? You know, there's a lot of rumors that the enemy tries to bring up about all of us. But the thing is if you start looking at the person, you'll get your eyes off of who the true culprit is. No. Just under your breath, like me and Howdy did this morning, when if people just come by and says, "Man, that's a. remember when the rumor started that we were a beer drinking church? Well, how many of you know that's a curse spoken in the air? So it's important for us to then say, "Well, I break every curse that is spoken negatively about this church, about any of the other churches in Liberty Hill and Burning and all the surrounding areas." And we just thank you, Lord, that we loose the spirit of favor, the anointing that breaks yokes of bondage and sets captive people free. And people will come to this church to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God. Okay, what if all of us leaders in the church started focusing on what someone might have said? I'm not going to deal with what someone said. I'm going to deal with the spirit behind it. I'm going to come against that spirit of darkness, the ruler, the powers of the principalities, praise God. And I'm going to come against that in Jesus' name. And then God takes care of getting the human set free. So here's how you respond to opposition. Because listen, when someone is right in your face in opposition, speaking falsely about you, cheating you, robbing you, lying, spreading rumors, betraying, hurting, saying things like you'll never succeed, some of them are right up in your face, while others are more subtle, chipping away at you silently. Either way, they can stir up all kinds of powerful emotions. The hurt, the anger, the frustration, and defeat. And here's just ways that will help you respond to your enemies. You ready? Number one, This is going to help us, y'all. Because what does an enemy try to do? Get you off of the road of the blessing. They want to get you focused on the hurt, the anger, what they did, what they said, instead of keeping you on the road of the blessing in the perfect will of God. The first thing you need to do to respond to an enemy is refuse to retaliate. Look at me. How many of you know it's real easy to want to stab them back when they stab you? Refuse to retaliate. Listen to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Man, when someone comes against me as a pastor or against this church, the worst thing that I could do is attack back. I don't have to retaliate. You know why? Because God's got my back. The Word says in the Old Testament that your righteousness, doing what's right, that's what righteousness is, your righteousness goes before you. And the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. If you just don't retaliate, you don't have to pay them back. You don't have to one-up them. Watch what God does, because He's actually got your back. And I know you were probably thinking of certain examples of, wow, you know, I would like to attack back that person. But man, when you don't retaliate, what happens? Man, God just begins to cause the blessing to come on you because you're not walking in offense, you see. The first way to respond is refuse to retaliate. That soft answer. Now, I'm not saying, because there's times when you got to get stern. I mean, when someone won't receive your counsel, there's a time when you get stern. And I don't care what that leads to, sternness, not sin. Because they're not going to receive anything from you sometimes unless you do. And you'll always tell where their heart is. When I'm in a counseling session and I've heard the same old thing and they just flat won't listen and I get their attention, hey, listen to me in Jesus' name. If they get offended, you know where their heart is. But man, if they sit back and receive and listen, and even if they don't agree, let it go in one ear and out the other. But the worst thing you can do is respond. That's what this is talking about, y'all. How to not respond in a harsh way. I mean, just a soft-spoken answer turns away wrath. Here's the thing, though. You're going to have to decide which way you're going to go. You're going to have to choose one way. You're either going to be the person that constantly answers in a negative way, a harsh way, or you're going to be one that says, hey, man, think about this for a minute and just be calm. However you do it, how you respond is going to be how your enemy reacts. And usually a harsh word, they're going to attack more. A calm word, man, that old devil. I mean, he gets mad when he can't get your goat. Is that a good word? I mean, when he can't move you, guess what he does? Remember the scripture that says the enemy's like a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour? And that's all he's doing. He's just, let me see who I can. Let me get this guy. And then when you go, I ain't moved. I'm not losing my joy. Then he's got to go, you know, that's a man of God right there. Let me go to, let's see if she can kind of help me get that guy. And then when you go, I'm not going to lose my joy. I just walk in freedom. Thank you, Jesus. The devil goes, rats. And then he goes to the next one. And then he'll go to the next one until, remember, he's seeking whom he may. There he is. There he is. I can mess with this guy because he's emotional right now. He's this, he's that. But when you say, I'm not moved by my feelings, I'm moved by the Word of God, and greater is He that's in me than he. The devil's like, what? This group over here is pretty good. Let me. Are you following me? Let me go to this guy now. Well, never mind. And that's what the devil just keeps doing. And there's got to be someone that I can move. Who? They're usually in the back because they're wanting to be ready to get out the door. Let me check back there. You see, he's just seeking. And how you respond to that enemy is going to be either you're going towards the blessing or you're going towards the curse. You are redeemed from the curse of the law because of Jesus. The power that is on the inside of you. You've got to start responding to the enemy in the right way. Don't retaliate. Let God be your vindicator. He's the one that, like Isaiah says, there was a man that posted something on social media, and I know him. He's a great man. And I just responded and built him up. Because it's real easy to get tore down, especially on the internet. On social media. You don't want to get involved in all that stuff. That's why I dislike. And I might use the word hate. I always tell my son, hey, we don't hate nothing but the devil. Because he's, I hate that. I hate this. But one thing I dislike is communication by texting and emails. Because that is not true communication. That's actually a coward's way of communicating. But man, when you're brave enough to say, hey, I need to talk to you in person. You realize, kids, y'all could probably testify to this. I mean, I know you're older kids, but still. Kids are breaking up with each other on text. Have y'all done that? Just kidding. Oh, no, I know they wouldn't. But that is not a way to communicate, y'all, by emailing and texting. It is a bad way because you will never know the tone of someone's voice. They may be soft and not harsh, and then it comes across harsh and mean. Okay, don't retaliate. Refuse to do that because that's gonna respond to an enemy, and they're not going to be able to deal with it. I better move on. Look at the second thing. Second thing that I want to show you, and I'll preach the rest of this later. Here's the second way to respond to your enemies. You ready? Love them. You knew that was coming, right? Love your enemies. I want you all to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Everybody flip over there real fast because I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 5. Now, you really need to read all of Matthew chapter 5, because this is the Beatitudes, the B being blessed, you know. And I'll just start in one. And seeing the multitudes, he, talking about Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed. Say that. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those are the kingdom of heaven. And it talks about all the blessings. Well, flip all the way over to about, and you're going to turn about two pages to verse 44. After you're blessed, because, you know, one of those scriptures there, I'll just read it to you. I think it's in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man, I want to be blessed. So when someone talks bad about me, I'm blessed. You know, especially if they're you know, attacking me because of my belief, my stance in the kingdom of God, you see. But look at verse 44. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you." Look at me for a second. That's a hard thing to do, right? When someone is stabbing you, falsely accusing you, I mean, doing everything to you and against you, what are you going to do? Think it's the person? It's not. It's the enemy that's trying to, the spiritual power of darkness that has tempted them, and then they submit to it, to stab, to say, to react, all those things. But look what it says, though. Love them. Love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I mean, isn't that powerful, y'all? Listen to me. Love is not a feeling. We are not, as a believer in Jesus Christ, supposed to be moved by a feeling. You're what you see, what you hear, what you taste, touch, and smell. Those are all feelings. They're the five physical senses. What are you and I moved by? The Word of God. And the Bible says that we have the love on the inside of us named Jesus. So he's now saying, you know how to respond to an enemy in these last days that's going to keep you from dwelling on something? When I need you to dwell on the promised land, I need you to dwell on someone getting born again. I need you to go lay hands on the sick so that they'll recover, praise God. I need you to pray for Israel because they're going through a tough time. I need you to pray for the government and the leaders of our country. We don't want to pray for them, but we are instructed to pray for President Biden. We're instructed to pray for the Vice President, Kamala Harris. We're instructed to pray for all of the senators, all of the congressmen. We're instructed to pray for our mayor and city council and county commissioner and so on. And we're to pray. We don't have to agree with them. We're just praying for them. We're just trying to lift them up so that the spirit that's trying to cause them to take our country further away from our God would prevail and the devil would not prevail. We want God to be the head and not the tail. We want God to be above our country and not underneath it. We want him to be the true reign of our country. And it's going to take us to pray for people that we don't agree with. And I'm going to be the first one that's not ashamed to be behind this podium to say the leaders in our country need to turn away from the spiritual darkness and principalities of powers of darkness to the kingdom of light. Because if they will, I'm telling you, we'll be a blessed, prosperous, protected country. I'm telling you, when prayer got taken out of church, it was because Christians backed away. We don't want to get involved because you got to get nasty. No, you don't. You just got to stand on a principle. You got to stand on a foundation. And our foundation is Jesus, not a spirit of darkness. Amen. The spirit of darkness, the enemy does not want us or our country to serve God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is Hamas doing in Israel? They're bringing fear. The opposite of what we live by. But I'm telling you right now, don't you confuse fear and power. They may be operating in fear, and we may be operating in love, but with love, there's power. Not retaliation. No. No, we operate in love. If we operate in love, then we're not supposed to live by a feeling of what someone said, what we heard them say. We're not living by the five physical senses. We're making the decision, especially this decision, to live in God's love. We have to make the same decision to receive Jesus as Lord that some of you may be about to receive. here in a minute. You got to make the decision to receive Jesus. I can't force him on you, y'all. I can't beat you up over the head with the Bible trying to get Jesus to you. Because God gave us a free will, it's going to have to be us that says, I choose to receive Jesus. It's going to have to be your decision. Love is not a feeling. Man, it's a powerful force in the kingdom of God that will keep you out of a lot of harm when the enemy is attacking you. Just loving. I mean, when you walk in God's love, I don't care what they say. You got so much confidence. What? And guess what the devil does? Seeks someone else he may devour. You see, how you handle things. Me and Jamie was watching Seth rope in, it was in Stephenville at an arena called 377 because it's on Highway 377. Lots of big, big ropings. And we're watching, and one of his partners ropes a leg, and I looked at Jamie. He's 17, right? And I said, okay, we're going to see. Did y'all see me almost fall right there? I said, we're going to see how he responds. Is he going to be mature, and he's just going to go catch? Or is he going to make that 1 5-second penalty by his partner roping a leg affect how he goes at the next steer? Because a lot of times a young person, I mean, he's in the short round possibly to win money. It costs money to get in. And I'm telling you, I was so proud of him because a young kid, an immature person, roping wise, when they break the barrier, that's a 5-second penalty, or the healer ropes a leg, that's a 5-second penalty. The fastest time is what is winning. So in their minds, I'm going to see where they're at. He's either going to try to launch it to be four, or is he going to go work on his horse for the next run, for the next rodeo? I'm telling you, he was so mature, Ricky. I said, you go, boy. I was so proud because he went up there and he just handled the steer as if he didn't have that 5-second penalty. That's maturity. Do you realize that older Christians need that maturity? Because we respond in some very negative ways, but not when you operate in love. You're going to respond the right way. Let me close. We've got to make a decision to be kind. It's not an emotion. You've got to make a decision to love your enemies. And how do you love them? It begins in the heart. You got to begin by changing your heart, renewing your mind. Example, you got to start praying like this. Whenever you think of your enemy in a person form that's tempted by the true enemy, right? Why don't you pray this simple prayer? God, you love so-and-so. Put their name there. God, you love so-and-so. So I love so-and-so. And you may have to rehearse this over and over because your old flesh ain't going to want to do that. No, I don't love them, Lord. Do you know what they did to me? No. Walking in love is how you respond. And you walk in love by, God, you love so-and-so, so I love so-and-so. I forgive them, and I ask you to help me love them with the God kind of love. If you pray that, that's responding in the right way. That's responding to your enemy. So you see, love's a powerful force, y'all. Wow. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. We've got to start operating in love. If we'll do that and we'll respond in the right way, woo, Jesus, watch victory come to your life. Now again, as I started the message, I'll close it with this. Do you have enemies? How are you responding to your enemy? Always remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So speak to the mountain. Speak to the spirit of darkness. You've got power because of the name of Jesus. At his name, every demon has to flee. Amen? So the next time an enemy comes trying to get you off the road of blessings into the road of anger and resentment and strife, then you start walking in love. Don't retaliate. I taught this boy, I said, you know what? You just speak the blessing of those people that are cursing you and watch it turn. That's how we respond in these days, y'all. In the next messages, I'll kind of give you a few more points, because the reason I think God is bringing this message up now is because the enemy in the last days is trying to cause the believer to get off the road of blessings. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days that some are walking away from the faith. Why would you do that? Well, it's because they get their minds focused on all the bad stuff and they get convinced that God's really not helping. No. You make a decision to let God be magnified in your life. Take the high road no matter what, and see the blessing of God come to your life in Jesus' name. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this message. We all receive it by faith in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that it is yes and amen. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to respond to enemies in a right way. It's not a person. It's the spirit of darkness, the principality, the power of darkness in heavenly places, in high places. So, Father, we're not going to live by a devil, a demon that got kicked out of heaven, that can't stand in the presence of you like we can. We were made in your image, sir. We were made in your likeness. So we are your son and daughter. We have an inheritance, praise God. So, Father, help us. Help us to understand who the true enemy is. And it's not a person. It's a stinking spirit, the spirit of darkness. And we come against him in Jesus' name. We thank you, sir, that we're going to live in victory from now on because of how we handle things, how we respond in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, I'm talking about you just don't know what would happen to you if you died. Been a lot of death and rodeo here lately. Beautiful 22-year-old was killed towards Houston that a lot of the rodeo people knew. My phone rang off the wall, y'all. Wow. People confused of why would God take home a 22-year-old? Then y'all know me. I had to start correcting. God didn't do it. God's a life giver. He's not going to take you home. I know everybody thinks that it's in God's timing when you actually leave this earth, because he knows the end from the beginning, etc. But really, that's not truth. The Bible says that you have power over life and death in your tongue. That's why it's important that we speak the word of God. That's why we plead the blood of Jesus over us when we travel and when we do things. Because who's the one that wants to rob life? John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not God. Stop blaming God. No, God had to allow it. He's not going to intervene if he can't. So what we do is we pray. We plead the blood. Just what we did over Israel. All 600 still died, though, y'all. So we got to continue to pray and pray Psalms 91 over all of us. We dwell in a secret place and we abide under the shadow, the protection of God Almighty. We don't live in fear of, I wonder if this is the day I'm going to die. You know, in little terms, even barrel racers and rodeo people, I hope I don't hit a barrel. I hope I don't split the horns. I hope I don't rope the calf around the, the, the top of the head. I hope he don't get up. I hope the bull don't hurt me. I hope, you know, all you're doing is speaking junk. Stinking thinking, I say. No, you've got to start speaking the Word of God, y'all. If you're here this morning, you've never met Jesus, it's time to meet him. It's time to make him the Lord of your life. But again, I can't make you give your heart to him. You've got to make the decision right now. If you left this earth and you died, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Because that's the only two places. If Jesus is Lord of your life, John 3:16, remember? God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he said this, if you'll just believe on him, the Son, you'll not perish. You'll have everlasting, that's heaven, y'all, everlasting life. It's up to you. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you just don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, hadn't thought about it, I want you to choose heaven by receiving Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer. All the believers in here, they know, they're going to pray this prayer with you if you're praying it for the first time. But if you are praying and asking Jesus to come into your life this morning, I want you to do it out loud where your ears can hear yourself pray it, and then believe it. And I'll pray. I'll just lead you in the prayer. So if you're here and you've never met Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now and ask him to come into your life. If you die and do this, you'll bust heaven wide open, y'all. And that's where I want you to go, not that place called hell. So believers, would you pray this prayer, hopefully with someone beside you or around you that may be praying it for the very first time. We're not going to ask them to pray it by themselves. We're going to just pray it with them. You ready? Let's pray it out loud just like this. Ask Jesus to come into your heart right now by praying this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you, Jesus, have been raised from the dead, and I'm saved, going to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here on this earth, I need help. I need to know how to read the Bible. I need a church, but I'm willing to get help because Jesus is now Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, I'm telling you, do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. We've all done it. I did it 1979, May the 10th. I gave my heart to Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer, you asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, you just didn't know what would happen to you if you died, heaven or hell, you didn't know. Now you do. Heaven's your home. If that's you, and you just gave your heart to Jesus, when I say three, I'll go one, two, three. With boldness, I want you to raise your hand. And while when you raise it, you're saying to God, I meant that prayer, sir, and it's an honor to be your son or daughter. And then just put your hand back down. All you're doing is acknowledging what you did. Don't be ashamed of that. Jesus died on top of a hill called Golgotha in front of the whole world, y'all. All I'm asking you to do with heads bowed and eyes closed is confess him before me. The Bible says if you'll do that, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, when I say three, get that hand up and then just put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Both of y'all. Honored. Appreciate that. Amen. We'll get you a Bible. Just no one looking around. Yeah, praise God. The man. Yeah, praise God. Thank y'all so much. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Amen. Love y'all very much. Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.